show up.
We do thank you all for joining us this morning, afternoon, Africa and Europe. Good evening, the western part of the world, in Australia, Japan, and all those areas. They are getting ready to go to bed right now. We do thank you for joining us. Today is a special day. It's a special feature. We are talking to people who are making a difference in their community, and they have chosen to go out of their way to do things that are just beyond. Before we continue with our show, as Zambia Block Talk Radio, we just want to say that our prayers are with people on the Texas Gulf Coast, those areas who are being hit by Hurricane Harvey, and a lot of flooding and a lot of disaster things have taken place there. So our hearts go out to the people in that area, and we are praying for them. We shall be talking about how we can help and how we can contribute and all the other special things that are going on out there. Okay, this morning I'm talking to Febi and Lamek. They are co-founders. They are a couple, and they co-founded Daliso School Support Association. This is not the first time we're talking to Lamek and Febi. They are dynamic. They're just passionate about this, and we just want to hear from them where their association is, the upcoming walk day, play day, and the drive to sort of bring together some school supplies for people in rural Zambia. So we'll be hearing from them. These are our guests today. It's a two-part segment, and later on at the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking to somebody also making a difference in the community. Febi, Lamek, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Good. How are things going? How's the family?
The family is great. We just thankful that we've been saved from the hurricanes, and the family is well. We are doing good.
Excellent. That's
good morning.
Great.
This is Febi.
Hi, Febi. I was thinking that maybe Lamek had put something on here. Tape on your mouth. He didn't want you to talk.
No, I'm here. Good morning. Thank you so much for having us.
Excellent. I mean, you guys are just special, and special people deserve special treatment and a special place. Okay. For somebody listening to this, Febi, Lamek, for the first time, when did you establish the Daliso School Support? Why and what prompted you guys to do this?
All right, so Daliso was founded in 2013, October 2013. We had visited home. My husband and I had visited home. We were actually getting married around that time. So when we visited the communities at home and comparing where we live in the United States, it was very humbling to see what is going on. When we came back to the United States, my husband and I sat down and we discussed how we could help And we thought of education as being something that would at least open the door for someone to be encouraged, for someone to even have hope that they can have a better future. So the least that we could do was at least school supplies. As you know, people back home, the children especially, do not have basic school supplies like pencils, pens, or erasers. You do know they carry books in a plastic bag, and someone having a new backpack would encourage them to even go to school the next day. I was born and raised in Chipata myself. I went to a public school. However, I was very fortunate to have parents that would even send me to go to college in the United States. But coming here to America, we really don't take stuff for granted. So really found it in our hearts that at least providing the children there with school supplies would give them hope or encourage them to go to school, and that might even help to duplicate the cycle of poverty. So that's how we got started. So since 2013, we have sponsored more than 600 children in Eastern Province at Mafuta School. We have provided them with notebooks. You know how special a hard-covered book is. So we have sponsored them with books, pencils, sharpeners, backpacks. And this is not backpacks that are very expensive. This is stuff that we find on sale, you know, for $2. Sometimes Walmart, for example, do carry this for $1. So we have even reached out to people. We have reached out to churches, and they have been very, very helpful and very interested in helping out. We could not do this on our own. We've had some partners that have come on board to even help us help these children. So we haven't done this by ourselves. Through prayers and people's support, the community has been very, very helpful. My husband can add on that.
Okay. Before Lamech says something, I want everybody listening out there to know that we'll be talking about a special event that the Daliso School supporters put together. The reason we are doing this show today, Dr. Kalonde, is the event is in 2 weeks' time. So the idea here, Febi and Lamech, is to give people from who are not in Dallas, who are out there like Pianki, Matilda here, who have called in, who live outside Texas, who should be able to sort of send in their support before this this drive goes on. So you guys, do you just do this for Mafuta School in Eastern Province, or how do you identify a school that is going to benefit from the drive?
Okay. Simply, we work like throughout Zambia. But at the moment, we've been helping the school in Mafuta.
Mm-hmm.
But we are open to helping everyone in Zambia because, I mean, if we identify a problem, it's our responsibility to take part in the answer to that. You know, like right now, like we received some emails, people reaching out to us telling us, "Oh, we would like you guys to help us." You know, we have schools, I think one of them is in the Northern Province. They reach out to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we take it upon us. It's like, okay, we can do this. They're looking for school supplies, and we can't leave everyone behind. So we go ahead and start like a drive, guys. We start asking the community. We start asking different people for donations. And simply once we are done, we identify an individual that we can use at home to take those products to them. So, short, we are open to everyone in Zambia. And not necessarily Zambia. Like if we have people needing help in places like Malawi or Kenya, because we have worked with some Malawians and Kenyans before, so if they need help, we can also do that.
Excellent. Now, the best part about this, Fabian Blamek, is that the items you are asking for are basically very light, right? And they wouldn't cost much to ship, right, for somebody outside Texas.
Yes, sir. But although the books may be heavy, you know, the books due to the paper and everything, the books may be heavy, but the backpacks are not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the backpacks are very affordable. Right now, they are being sold for like $7, $5.99, sometimes even $3.99 in some certain areas.
We are really asking for backpacks in sharpeners because, you know, the children do not have sharpeners. They are using a razor blade to sharpen their pencils, and we are wanting to eliminate the razor blade. As you know very well, there is HIV and AIDS. That would be one way for us to eliminate that problem, is to use a sharpener. In the future, we would want to have a sharpener, you know, those machinery sharpeners in a classroom so everyone is using that too. But we would recommend that people are not shipping the books because it would take up so much of their shipping money. The backpacks will be very light. The sharpeners will be light. The pencils will be light. And we would really appreciate that.
Excellent. We are talking to Lamek and Febi Kahira. They are founders of Daliso School Support Association. Let me give you the website, everybody listening and those who are calling, Daliso, D-A-L-I-S-O, Daliso School Support Association, one word, it's long. You can get it, Daliso School Support Association.com. You go there and see the information, beautiful, simple website, and see what you can do with that. I hope you got that, Dr. Kalonde. It's Daliso School Support Association. We want everybody to participate. That's the reason we're talking to Lamek and Febi today, so that we can, the Zambia Block Talk Radio community and family, we can jump into this and do something. Guys, let's talk about Work Play Day, which is coming up. Can you tell our listeners what this is about?
Yes. So the Play Day is on September 16. September 16 is on Saturday. We will be starting at 7 a.m. and ending at 12 noon.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be in Dallas, Texas. The address is 16600 Hillcrest Road, Dallas, Texas, 75248, zip code. And this is a park. It's called Campbell Green Park. For those people who live in the Dallas area, this is on the intersection of Hillcrest and Campbell Road. We do encourage that parents do come with their children. This is a family event. Also, if you do have children coming, feel free to bring some swimsuits or swim trunks because they have a little water play area where children can play. We would like to make this fun for the children, but also they need to know that while having fun, you can be helping somebody else. We do not have a registration fee because we would want that registration fee to be used towards everybody coming, bringing a donation. So that's why we do not have a registration fee. We are asking for backpacks. The idea is to collect at least 300 backpacks. Now, there is people that are not coming that have already donated. You are more than welcome to do that as well.
Okay. If somebody wants to donate, how do they do that? People living out, like, I'm emphasizing on people outside Dallas because, you know, you both know that this forum is worldwide. So somebody in England is like, well, that's a good cause. Where do I send my stuff? Or what do I do if I'm in Europe and I'd like to participate? Dr. Patrick here is in the Carolinas. He would also like to do something. How does he participate?
Okay. There are different ways of participating. Either shipping their actual school supplies, or
yes,
they can send the funds. You know, they can look up like a Walmart. They have sales going on right now, $5
mm-hmm.
or whatever. So you can say, okay, you want to donate 5 bags, and you see there, like, you just calculate how much 5 bags cost you, and then you can just send that $5. We have, we have like the Cash App, or simply just send the check, or because we haven't set up a credit card or anything like that. We haven't set that up yet. We're still working on that. Yes, sir. And we have a phone number where you can reach us, we have our own numbers. You can reach me at 469-268-8700, or you can reach my wife at 469-269-9897. And we also have an 800 number for guys that maybe they are living outside of Texas. We have an 800 number, which is 1-866-521-6662, and that one will be able to connect it. You'll be able to connect with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
And excellent.
For those who would like to ship stuff, if you are wanting to mail anything, you are more than welcome to mail it to Daliso School Support Association, and the address is P.O. Box 702095 is the address. Dallas, Texas, 75370.
Okay. Excellent. So that address again is P.O. Box, Post Office Box 702095, Dallas, Texas 75370. So, Sebi Lamek, 300 backpacks, and you have helped 600. I mean, talk about what happens in these situations when these items or materials are received. I mean, what just happens there? I can just imagine.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we do have two team members that are available right now in Zambia. So we do ship the items through Amazon. And when the items are received over there, we communicate on how that would be distributed. Of course, you know, pictures have a lot of value, so we always have a photographer there to take the pictures. For those of you that have been following on Facebook at Daliso School Support on Facebook, you have seen the pictures. For those of you that have visited the website, the pictures are there as well. So when they're received, they are transported to Mafuta School, because that's who we've been working with currently. And this school is in a rural area, so of course we have to drive like 1 hour out of town. But at the school as well, there is people that are willing to help. So the parents of the children are willing to help, because you already give them a heads up before the event takes place.
Yes.
So they gather the children and they provide the school supplies. We always start with grade one. So we have worked with all the grade ones that are in third grade right now. So all of them have at least a school bag and some school supplies. But so our team will distribute that stuff to the children, make sure that at least no child is left behind. Even if they don't get a school bag, at least they get two books, two pencils, two sharpeners, erasers, something that at least each classroom would have.
Okay.
And so we do ask them that they do send us pictures. My husband and I have not experienced the distribution process as of yet, but we intend to very soon.
Excellent, excellent. Okay. Those listening and you'd like to support and be part of this project, please, Alamek has given the phone number there, or you can call them on the 866-521-6662 number. It will directly go to their numbers. And you can even find them on Facebook, Febi Kahira there, and Lamek Kahira. Kahira is spelled K-A-I-R-A. So we're speaking to people making a difference. And everybody listening, please, I know Zambia Block Talk Radio family and community, I mean, we do some wonderful things when it comes to things like this. Hi, Matilda. Hi, Dr. Kalonde.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Dr.
Kalonde, are you there? Okay, go ahead, Matilda.
I want to commend the carers for the work that they are doing. This is inspiring. 600 backpacks over a period of time is not a joke. I know here in Florida, a church, a Zambian church I fellowship with, did the same thing a few years ago, but it was a one-time thing since the school we sent it to was not really established. I wanted to ask where, or get your opinion, or give us an experience when you have had a challenge. You know, you have this good thing that you want to do, but then you face a challenge either with shipping or with receiving or distribution. And how did you bounce back from that?
Okay. For us, usually the challenge is back home, looking for transportation. Because when we ship from here, and then when the stuff arrives in Lusaka,
mm-hmm.
we start arranging for a bigger truck. And most of our families, they do not have those big trucks. So now we have to start sending some more money. And our parents are already older. Sometimes they're the ones that are responsible for arranging and arranging people that can go out there and pick their stuff up, the big boxes.
Mm.
Because most of the time we ship like two big wardrobe boxes. And shipping books, that can be very heavy. So most of the time it's just transportation from Lusaka to the rural areas.
Okay.
As the roads are not that well paved, so it's very hard to get reliable transportation to those areas.
So bouncing back from that challenge would recommend us to send more money. That way the shipping company can send that stuff to where it is going.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Matilda.
Miss Matilda.
I'm sorry, okay. I muted. I muted myself. This habit of muting. Yes, that does answer the question. You know, we also experience the same thing, that type of the transportation. And I did like what you had said. If a person is attempting to say, I'll ship this by myself, the items are pretty light. So it does make sense to ship them to you guys and then you take care of the larger things. Thank you.
Okay. So what you can do, Matilda, if you can get back to that church and tell them about Daliso and see how they can help and get involved in this project. please do that. My friend in Canada would like to say something, comment and contribute. Roger, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan, and good morning, Febi and Alamek, and thank you for everything I think you've been doing over the time. I think we've hosted you guys before, I think 2 years ago.
Yes.
So it's good. It's good to have you back. Yeah, it's good to have you back.
Thank
Zambia
you.
Block Talk
thank
Radio.
You.
The first comment I wanted, actually, I was looking for somewhere we could do, as a radio, make a donation here, but then you announced that you are not accepting credit card as yet. I think that should be made into, like, yesterday. You may need to make that one, because that is the most easiest way people can make. If I tell you I'm going to send you a $20 in the mail, I'm going to go to the post office today in 2017, I'll be lying to you. I'll never go to the post office. So the easiest you can get money from me, if you wanted, or from us using our card, please do something about that radio. We can send you a $10 there. Today on our next discussion, we are under the title. It's going to be Diaspora Capital, and what you guys are doing is what we in the diaspora. I think people might want to know us only for our remittances, the money we send, but what you are doing is the, according to what I'm finding out, is the biggest contribution the diaspora are making, where they come from in the village. My question to Febi and Lamek is, how are you doing it, you guys, and you've done it for so long? How are you doing it, and how can we motivate, say, every Zambian in every state to get off their whatever, start to move in this direction, especially in education? How are you doing? How have you stayed on top of this project?
Okay. We have managed to stay through people like you guys, your support, your prayers, and your donations. You know, simply we don't just stop. You know, we ask our co-workers, we ask our friends in the community, we ask our church, we attend small groups at the church, and we let them know about Daliso, we let them know where we come from. Because when people look at us, they think everything is great, you know. Oh, you're from Africa? Okay, cool. That's it. But we go ahead and let them know where we come from. We're from Africa, we're from Zambia, and we need help. You know, the government itself cannot do it by itself, you know. And it's our responsibility, being here in the diaspora, not to forget where we come from. And we shouldn't just cover it up like everything is okay. Our country needs help. So especially in the rural areas where sometimes they don't even have teachers or enough teachers. So that's why we step in and try to motivate everyone. I mean, even teachers will be looking forward to go to school if they know that they have supplies, they have the equipment they need to teach.
Yes.
You know, so that will motivate everyone, to motivate the entire community.
Excellent.
And another motivation sometimes is we do notice how, this is just an example, you know, how students here in the United States take stuff for granted. For those with children, you know, our children, when we send them to school, you can tell that there is such a difference between that student and the student back home. The stuff that they ask for when school starts, you know, like school here just started 2 weeks ago, you can tell the difference of the stuff that they ask for, material stuff. And you know how they complain about school, how they don't like this and that. And you know there is another student back home that is striving for that one thing. If only they had a book and a pencil, you know, they would not really worry about those other stuff. That is very motivating. Just to see the smile on the face when that distribution is completed is something that's encouraging. When you see the classroom that they use, but they still go to school, and when you give them those supplies, they really look forward to go to school. It's like Christmas all over again. That is a motivation.
Yeah.
And again, we don't forget where we come from. These students, they do not have an idea of who we are. We don't know what assumptions they're making, but this is not about us. This is about helping those that are less fortunate and what we can do.
It would be very, very nice,
and it'll be very important that whoever is able to donate. We always use an example of eating out. So, you know, for those who are working, really don't have time to cook, we do have a chance to eat lunch for some people every day for $7 lunch every day. That would be the same $7 that can buy 80 pencils, but we really don't think of it like that. That $7 can sponsor one classroom when it comes to pencils, but we don't use that analogy most of the time.
Okay. All right, guys, as we conclude here, please just give us one of the ways people give these days, Febi, Lamek, is through Cash App. Which number can they use to cash you up?
Okay. I currently have the Cash App, and they can reach me on 469-268-8700.
Okay.
Or if they need the email address, it's simply Lamek, L-A-M-E-C-K, 08 at gmail.com.
Okay, excellent. All right, everybody, that was Lamek and Febi, founders of Daliso School Support Association. If you would like to get in touch with them, they've given us the numbers there. You can call Lamek or cash him up at 469-268-8700. And they are both on Facebook, Lamek Kaira and Febi. Febi is F-E-B-B-Y. Guys, thank you so much. It's always a joy to listen to you. We're looking forward to that, work play day on September 16th from 7 to noon. We shall be looking forward to that.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
And continue
excellent.
To keep up in your prayers.
Yes, we shall support you. All right, everybody, that was Lamek and Febi. We are transitioning here. We'll be speaking to Pastor Joseph Mwenya, the founder and senior lead pastor at Global Fellowship Church. Let's take a short break, and we'll be coming back. Good morning once again. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live to you from Dallas, Texas. And those of you joining us from Europe, good afternoon, good evening, Australia, Japan, and those areas. This is a two-part segment special feature. We are talking to people making a difference in the community. And we were just talking to Febi and Lamek Kaira. Joining us is Pastor Joseph Mwenya. He is the founder and senior pastor at Global Fellowship Church. Roger, today I'm just featuring my people in my neighborhood, and I'm enjoying this just to show you that Dallas people are serious people. Pastor Joseph is a phenomenal person. He is a loving husband, father, and he has a my goodness, this church is just something. Let's hear from Pastor Joseph. Good morning.
Good morning, man of God. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing good, doing good. I hope I didn't wake you up at 6 o'clock. Are you in the neighborhood or you are in Seattle?
I'm in the neighborhood, so I got up right in time.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, let's talk about, I mean, there's a lot going on at Global Fellowship Church, and we just want to highlight some of the things that are going on. Somebody listening, and we are hosting you here for the first time. So when was Global Fellowship Church established and founded, and how did you come up with the name Global Fellowship?
Well, thank you so much, first of all, man of God, for hosting me and giving me this opportunity to just share what the Lord has been doing in our church. Global Fellowship Church was birthed really out of soul searching. When I came from Botswana, I before I came to the United States, I was running a church in Botswana, so I came to the United States, and you know, most of us when we come, we have that fire burning in us, and so when I was burning inside of me, you know, with just a fire. I'd been doing some number of years of praying and fasting, and so I came here. I joined several prominent churches. The pastors are on television, and I would, you know, join those mega churches and hoping that fire in me would continue to burn. But I felt something was missing. You know, I left one church, went to another, and joined another church, and finally, I joined a Nigerian church where the pastor was Nigerian. I was an associate in 2005, and unfortunately, I still kept feeling that fire wasn't really satisfied. Mm-hmm. And when the church was shut down in 2007, I stayed home for almost a year, just praying and asking the Lord for direction. And so,
wow.
At the end of 2007. I remember the Lord said to me, I lived on Forest Lane, right on Forest Lane and Oderia, which happens to be, I think, a very popular community for Zambians. I was joking with somebody. I said, if Zambians come to America, they don't know Forest Lane and Oderia, they're not Zambians. it's very popular with Zambians. But I lived in that neighborhood, and In the late of 2007, I had the very first prayer meeting at my house, and I remember, man of God, it was me, my cousin, I had Felicia, I had another friend, Osa, and somebody else. So the five of us came together and we prayed, and I remember what I shared in 2007. I shared on the topic picnic. It was a strange topic, picnic, but the Lord had given me a word. That all of us have something to bring to the table. It's not just about one. It's all of us, as Scripture says, that we are one body, and all these one body has multiple parts with different functions. And so everybody loved it. And so the next week, Wednesday, I had 13 people show up in my one bedroom. It was like a 700 square foot apartment. 13 people showed up, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time. And man of God, the third week, we had 65 people show up in my one bedroom apartment. And and when that happened, I remember when the service was going on, I went into the bathroom, and I found some people sitting on the bathtub and one person sitting on the toilet and some people in the kitchen and others in the balcony. And I was shocked. I said, what are you guys doing? They said, there's nowhere to sit, you know, because we had 65 people in the apartment. And that night the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to get out of the apartment and go into a much bigger place. And so I was thinking it's just going to be a meeting. And so I made an announcement. I said, guys, the following Wednesday, which was exactly a month after we started, I said, the Lord spoke to me to get out of the apartment. And I would like those of you that would love to contribute towards, you know, buying the equipment, because we need to be in a bigger place like a hotel. And everybody was very excited, and that everybody pledged. And the fifth Wednesday, when we were now supposed to be fulfilling our pledges, nobody showed up. And
said
to the Lord, yes, I said to the Lord, did I really hear from you? And the Lord says, yes, you need to get out. And next week, Wednesday, you have to be in a hotel. I said, well, nobody showed up for the fundraising, to contribute towards the equipment. And so what I did was I had a little bit of money saved up. I went to a guitar center and I bought some microphones and I bought some speakers and I bought a keyboard and I bought all the stuff that was needed. And I went into the hotel and I had a first service and, about 10 people showed up and I was excited. And I remember the Thanksgiving of 2017. So at that point, we are still just, thinking it's just a meeting. And one time I was praying at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm asking the Lord, what is the direction? Where are you taking us? And at that, I'm not very sure what the Lord is doing. He hasn't really fully given me instructions. And so the Lord spoke to me vividly and said, get online. And so I went online at 1 o'clock in the morning. And the Lord says, go to Google. And I put Google and he says, search global. And I put in global and he said, fellowship. And I put fellowship and he said, church. And then I put church and I said, it came out, it's not there. I said, Lord, there's nothing. He said, exactly, because you need to put it there. I said, what are you talking about? He says, you need to start Global Fellowship Church. So at that point, I'm excited. And to be honest with you, man of God, when the Lord spoke to me, that excitement, I thought it would be translated or it was going to be also be shared with the other people that we are finally starting a church. And so when I finally shared with everybody the following meeting that, the Lord instructed me to start a church, some people seemed very shocked that, someone wanted to start a church by the name of Global Fellowship. And they said, you understand the challenge. I said, you know what? I may not understand the challenge, but I do know that starting a church is not very easy because I started a church in Botswana, in the city of Celebi Pikwe. And I remember the challenges that I had to walk for 3 hours from the place I was staying to go to the place where the church was, and I had to do door-to-door. And you know how we do it in Africa. You can knock on somebody's door, and they will let you in and give you some water while you preach to them and cast demons and heal them. In the United States, it's a little bit different. You knock on somebody's door.
That's right.
You know, they feel like you're about to rob them. So it's a little bit different.
Let me stop you right there and highlight something about your ministry and your church.
Yes.
I don't know how to put this question. I'm trying to. You experience a lot of the supernatural, a lot of miracles, a lot of demon man casting out demons, healings, and how did you get? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm finding it difficult to ask this question. How did you get into that? How did it start? How did you become? How did you say to yourself, this is what the Lord is asking me to do, the miracles and the healings and everything?
Well, it all began when I was about 15 years old. I lived in Indola in a compound called Kawama.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 15 years old, I lived with my grandmother and my mother and several other relatives. So we had about maybe 13 or 14 people living in a one-bedroom house. And that's not strange in most of the compounds. But my mother passed away, and life really hit us so hard. My sisters, me and my sisters, we actually laugh about that. And I'll get to your question in a minute. But when my mother passed away, and I'm gonna try to speak in a language that most of our members will understand, because we have about 60% of our members are not Zambian. I would say actually 80%, not 60%. So anyway, when my mother passed away, we went through a hard, hard time. I remember very well that sometimes in a whole week, we had one meal in an entire week. And so that led me to become very suicidal. I wasn't, it's now that I'm actually looking back and realizing that either I was so depressed as a child, but we just never knew that we were depressed as Africans. I think, you know, that word depression maybe is finding its way into Africa now, but when I was growing up, there was nothing such as depression. I just knew that I wanted to kill myself. And so I had made several attempts, like slicing my wrist, and then at some point I had I drank poison, and then at some point I jumped off of a 65 height, you know, just trying to kill myself. And when all of these suicide attempts were not successful, I do remember making a noose. I do remember making a noose, and I was going to hang myself the very next day. And I spoke to my friend, Pelmel, my childhood best friend, and I went to him and I said, look, I'm going to kill myself tomorrow. And my family, you know, my family doesn't care about me. Man of God, do you know that the first time I heard the words, I love you, I was 25 years old.
Oh, wow.
The first time I heard the word, I love you, I was 25 years old. I was in Botswana, and a pastor, a man, hugged me. Pastor Rod Talbot hugged me, and he said, I love you, man. And I cried for 5 hours because nobody had ever said, I love you. So all of these things, they actually drove me into that level of just wanting to kill myself. So when my friend could not persuade me to not kill myself, that night I remember laying down in Kawama. My grandfather was sleeping right next to me. I was sleeping on the floor. I had one blue, very, very tiny blue blanket, and half of it I was sleeping on it, and then the other half I covered myself, and I was looking at the roof thinking about how I was going to kill myself. And to just to go through very quickly, while I was thinking about killing myself, I fell into, there was this very dark sleep that came over me. It was absolutely dark. I felt like I was drowsy, and I was screaming, trying to, you know, have my grandfather wake me up, and that wasn't successful. Long story short, when I opened my eyes, I was actually standing in front of Jesus Christ, and he looked like this really, really strong beam of light. And he asked me, do you know who I am? And I said, are you Jesus? And he said, yes. And you know, I remember very well, like it happened last night. He looked so different from the Jesus that we have. Most of us have that, you know, beautiful Jesus, blue-eyed Jesus on the pictures. He was very different because his face looked like, and he asked me, do you know why you are here and why I brought you here? And I asked him, is it because I'm dead? And he said, no, you're not dead. And he says, I brought you here because I'm going to send you around the world to preach my gospel, and I'm going to use you to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and you know, to preach my gospel. And then once he was done talking, he says, I want you to meet some people. And the very first name of the person he introduced me was Peter. And then he introduced me to Luke and Andrew and Philip, and then the last person to be mentioned was John. And it's a long experience. This whole thing, either a dream or a vision, whatever it was, it happened from about midnight to almost 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. And so this is where that all comes from. The second experience I had was in 1999 on the 4th of October. At this point, I lived in Mrs. Compound in Lusaka. And me and the church, I used to go to Pilgrim Assemblies of God with Bishop Chama. They had introduced me to a life of praying and fasting. And to be honest, Pastor, I thought I had lost my mind because I was fasting every single day, every week, every month, every year. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I did dry fasting, no food, no water, no juices, no nothing. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I broke the fasting on Wednesday. And every single night, my prayer life was 11 p.m. to 4:30 a.m. every single day, every single week, every single month, every year. I slept sometimes for 3 hours every day. And on the 4th of October, while I was praying in Mrs. Compound, Jesus appeared to me. Not in a vision. I wasn't asleep. I was wide awake. He appeared over to me. And when he walked in the room, of course, I felt like the most filthiest man ever existed. I felt like the biggest sinner. And I just wept for hours and hours. He's looking at me. And he asked me, what do you want me to give you? And I'm just weeping. And I said, I want you to forgive me. And I'm going through this very fast so that you can ask me other questions if you have to. And then finally,
I want us to focus on your mission to Zambia, which is coming up.
Okay. So in a nutshell, this is how I found myself, you know, responding to the call of God after these two tremendous experiences that I had with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is my background, and just to answer your question.
Okay, excellent. We have about 9-10 minutes remaining here. You, Global Fellowship, is on a mission to Zambia. Talk to us about that, and you have a fundraising drive going on. Tell us about your mission to Zambia.
Before I speak about the mission and the fundraising to Zambia that we are doing, in the light of the hurricane Harvey, we've also added another fundraising to the church, because I truly believe that as a church we have to learn to not just pray about certain things, but also come in and help, you know, referring to the scripture when Jesus says that when you see the people that are hungry, don't just pray for them. You know, give them a loaf of bread. That's going to help. So we are also trying to raise about between 100 to 500 cases of purified water, foodstuffs, and toys and makeup for women. So those of you that are in the Metroplex in the Dallas area, if you feel compelled to donate anything, cases of water, money towards that or anything, you can absolutely call our church office at 214-774-9568. Now, the Lord has been speaking to me about Zambia for a very, very long time. And so after much praying and just much fasting and just interceding for the direction, the Lord has finally opened up the door to go and reach out to the people in the nation of Zambia. And when we get into Zambia, not only are we establishing a church, but we are going to also start an orphanage that is partly also providing providing for the widows. We want to be doing some kind of a training skills for the widows, and then giving them loans that they could be paying maybe they could be paying maybe $5 or so at the end of every month after they go through the training. But regarding the church, I do believe the vision that God has given me to raise people that are going to walk in the passion, the same passion that I have. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but the passion that I have is so crazy. Sometimes people just, you know, think of me like I'm a guy that's just either too zealous, but it's because I know, man of God, had the Lord not, you know, appeared to me that night, I would be dead. There wouldn't be me. There wouldn't be Global Fellowship Church. Maybe somebody else would be running it, but I do know that there are several people like that in Zambia that, you know, they are looking for the light. You know, some of them, they have no idea. They are driving past the churches. They are going to, you know, to the market. They are buying from the you know, Balamanikete. They are selling our tomatoes and stuff like that. And most of them, they are not as zealous as they are supposed to be sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is one of the things that we are going to be doing. We want to go and raise an army of people that are going to be just as passionate for the kingdom of God, and they can actually walk in it, talk it, and they will not be ashamed to put a big sign on their forehead that they are Christian and they are so passionate about it.
Excellent. Pastor Joseph, people are asking that you repeat that number, the contact number, or give us more information about anybody who would like to contribute towards HAVE, the project to for pure water and the Zambia project. So just repeat that number and any other information you'd like us you'd like to give us for people who would like to participate.
Okay, the easiest way to do it is they can also text to give, and it's very simple. Those that would love to text, the number is 84321. It's just 84321. They can text any amount, and all of these donations are tax deductible. And at the end of a year, they, you know, if they request, we can send them a receipt that they have given. And then the other thing they can do is to go to our website, which is iamgfc.com. iamgfc.com. And on the website, we also have the link, which is the GoFundMe link to the Zambian project. And God has been very, very faithful, man of God. We were trying to raise $10,000. And just from within the church and a few people from the outside, we have been able to raise almost $12,500 within just a month. And which is very exciting. But the phone number to the church is 214-774-9568. 214-774-9568. And then go if they Google GoFund, it's gofundme.com /goodnews/Zambia. Mm. And they should be able to find that on Google.
Excellent. Oh, wow, this is exciting. So let me go through this information again for those listening who would like to participate in the Hurricane Haze project that Global Fellowship is doing. 214-774-9568 is the church number, or you can text 84321. Pastor, how does this texting work when you give this number? Who do they text to? May they know how to do it.
Right. So it's actually very simple. Whenever you text, you immediately get on your text you get like a link. You click on the link and then you put in your email, and that's it.
Okay.
And then you select how much you want to give and all that information. You put in your name and stuff like that. But it's very, very simple and very convenient.
Excellent. So the church website is IAMGFC, just IAMGFC.com, which stands for I Am Global Fellowship Church, but it's IAMGFC.com. That's the church website, and you'll find the information there. And the address for the church, go check out Global Fellowship Church. You will be blessed. I encourage you. Pastor Joseph, it's been a joy talking to you, and we look forward to hearing some great things.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man of God, for hosting me. And every listener, I want to thank you for the opportunity. And may the Lord bless you this weekend, and may his light continue to shine on you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, man of God.
You're welcome. So today we were talking to people making a difference in their community. That was Pastor Joseph Mwenya, the senior pastor at Global Fellowship Church, and we earlier were speaking to Lamek and Febi Kaiba. Thank you, everybody. That was our show today. Let's call in on top of the hour. We are going to open forum with my friend Roger.